number 26. The book of Exodus, chapter number 26, is where we'll find our text for this afternoon. Exodus chapter number 26. And if you want to stand with us, we'll read the first verse and use it as a text verse for this afternoon. And then we'll pray together. And then please leave your Bible open because we'll return to these first several verses as we move through this afternoon. Okay? Exodus chapter 26 and verse number 1. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. Lord, we love you this afternoon. We're grateful for the opportunity to be in church and thankful for the opportunity to preach. And I pray, God, that you'd help us in these few moments to say something that would be an edification and a blessing to the body of believers that are here. Lord, let us help the church tonight, we pray. Let us learn something from your blessed word, and let us grow thereby, we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. Of course, it comes as no surprise to you that on our Wednesday nights, we have been preaching out of the book of Exodus and Leviticus on the tabernacle that was in the wilderness. Now, if you've been keeping score at home, you know that there was one more piece of furniture mentioned on the interior of the tabernacle. We have covered the Ark of the Covenant, and we've covered the mercy seat, the first two pieces in the first week. After that, we covered the table of showbread. Then we took a Wednesday night, last Wednesday night, and talked about the candlestick. And those of you who have read ahead, you know that there are one more piece of furniture mentioned inside of that tabernacle, and that is the altar of incense, where they would burn incense before the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. But we are following the blueprint that God gave to Moses. And God saw fit to deal with some other things before he dealt with that altar of incense. So I reckon if God wanted to deal with some other things first, we'll deal with some other things first, and we'll return back and cover the altar in the next coming weeks. Now, when you discover, when you consider the tabernacle and you consider the curtains that made up this tabernacle in the wilderness, what you'll discover is that there were actually two sets of fabrics that made up this covering that it begins to deal with in chapter number 26. The first set of coverings or fabrics was what was called the curtain. And then the other set of fabrics were called the coverings. It is interesting that there are two sets of curtains. There was linen, and then there was goat's hair. And then there were two sets of coverings. There were ram skins, and then there were badger skins. The first set of curtains was what we call the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the linen and the goat hair. The second set of coverings were 11 in number, and they are called the tent. When God gave Moses the instruction for these fabrics, we'll find out beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 26, God gave directions beginning on the inside and moving toward the outside. God talked about the linen first, that covered the roof, I guess, if you would. And then he dealt with the goat hair that was above that. And then the ram skin. And finally, the badger skin above that. God dealt with the inside first, and then he dealt with the outside. That should come as no coincidence to us at this point. God always deals with the inside before he deals with the outside. In fact, we know that our God sees the inside before he sees the outside. God sees what is inside of you more than what is outside of you. God saw the inside of the Pharisee, and he said, on the outside you look good, but on the inside you're full of dead man's bones. And you know, a lot of times, let me just say this and I'll move on. A lot of times we, as the children of God, see things incorrectly. listen to me now. We want to deal with a person's outsides before we let God deal with the person's inside. Amen. You know, you won't be able to clean up that sinner real good on the outside until God first cleans them up on the inside. And we've got a society that is filled with reformers. We want to dry them out. We want to clean them out. And we want to shower them up and clean them up. And we want to get them to get a haircut and get the alcohol off their breath and put on clean clothes and get a job. But the reality is that all those things take care of themselves when God takes care of the inside. Amen. God sees from the inside first, and therefore it makes sense that he deals with the tabernacle, these coverings from the inside working toward the outside. Interestingly enough, there are four sets of curtains and four sets of coverings. Each curtain and each covering was complete in and of themselves. But it took four separate sets of curtains and four separate sets of coverings to cover the entire tabernacle. These four curtains and these four coverings are a picture of four stories that are told of Jesus Christ. We've got four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each one of those Gospels was complete in and of itself. They told the story of Jesus Christ. But it took all four of them to tell the whole story of who Jesus Christ was. I want us to look at these sets of these curtains, and then we'll deal with the coverings in just a minute. But I want us to look at the tabernacle first, which was the curtains. Look at verse number 1 and consider with me their count. The Bible says, "Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen." The Bible tells us that God was instructed to make 10 curtains according to verse number 1. In your Bible, 10 is the number of human responsibility. Man has 10 fingers, speaking of his responsibility to work. Man has 10 toes, speaking of his responsibility to walk right in this world. There were 10 plagues given to the land of Egypt, which speaks of man's responsibility to respond to God before judgment comes. We see in the book of the Revelation that the Antichrist will rule over the governments of this world. He'll rule over mankind with a 10 federated kingdom. 10 is the number of human responsibility. These 10 curtains teach us that Christ fulfilled the human laws and human responsibilities on our part. The 10 curtains were 10 in number, but they were divided into two rooms. You see, the first room was the largest room. It was called the Holy Place. And if you can picture with me here, the tabernacle was a structure that was 15 foot wide and 15 foot tall and 45 feet long. And the first room was that Holy Place. It was a size of 15 by 30. And it was where the priest ministered day in and day out. It's where the table of showbread was, and it's where the golden candlestick and the altar of incense were. You see, this was the place where man worked day in and day out. The back half of that was called the Holy Place, or most commonly referred to as the Most Holy, or the Holy of Holies. This was a 15 by 15 room that contained the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And it was in this back room where God had promised that his presence would dwell. Now these 10 curtains went over both the place where human work was done and the place where God dwelt. And it speaks of the fact that God in Jesus Christ met the responsibilities of both man and God. There were 10 curtains. They were divided into two sets of 5. These two sets of 5, the division and these curtains are a picture of Christ and the picture of the division that Christ brings. A lot of times when people think of Christ, they think of Christ as a unifier, but in reality, Christ was a divider. Christ brought division. Did you know that? The Bible says in John 7:43, and so there was a division among the people because of him. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, 52, 53, the Lord speaking says, "Suppose you that I am come to give peace on the earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth they shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You see, Christ came to bring division. John 9:16, therefore some said of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. And others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracle? And there was division among them. You see, Christ brought division. And these two curtains divided into two sets of five speak of the division of Christ. I see not only their count, but I see their cloth. Verse number one tells us that this would be 10 curtains of fine twined linen, of blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. The word linen comes from the Hebrew word, which means to be white or to be bright. Therefore, the word linen in verse 1 means essentially to be bright white. Bright white linen was a very costly fabric in these days. And it pictures the humanity of Christ, how he was spotless and he was sinless. He was perfect in and of himself. You see, when God looks at you and me, he doesn't see us the way we see us. You know, a lot of times we have an overestimation of ourselves, do we not? You know, we think a lot of ourselves if we would be honest about it. But when God sees us, the Bible says that in Isaiah 64:6, but we are an unclean thing. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You see, we see ourselves highly, but God sees us as filthy rags. Our righteousness is filthy rags in the eyes of God. But Jesus Christ was different than normal men. He was perfect. He was sinless. He was undefiled. And even God himself testified of the perfection of Jesus Christ. You think about something with me. The Bible says this would be fine linen. Linen, that bright white linen. It was in Matthew 3:17 that God testified about his son for the first time. And when he did, he sent a white dove, and that white dove descended and lighted on the shoulder of Jesus Christ. And God the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. Bright linen now, bright white linen, that white dove testified. Later, God would wrap his son in brightness and testify one more time. Matthew 17:5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice from the cloud which said, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. You see, this was a picture of Jesus Christ. This was not only fine linen, but this was twined linen. That word twined in verse number one means to be twisted. For them to twist that linen made it even more fine, made it even more expensive, and it speaks of the cost of the death of Jesus Christ. He was perfect in and of himself, and his death was a costly death. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, for though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I see in verse number one, I see their colors. The Bible says in our text, and they'll make 10 curtains of fine twined linen of blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of a cunning work shalt thou make them. The order of the colors in every text recorded is the same. It is always blue and purple and scarlet. Of course, each one of these colors is a picture of Christ. Blue is the color of the sky. It is the color of the heavens. It speaks of the heavenly character of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. He said, I dwell in the high and the holy place. You see, the blue speaks of the heavenly character of Christ. The next color is the purple. We'll skip the purple and come back to it in just a minute, and you'll see why we do that. Let us consider not only the blue, but consider the scarlet with me. If the blue is the picture of the heavenly nature of Christ, then the scarlet or the red is the picture of the humanly character of Christ. The land of Palestine in these days was known for its red dirt, its red soil. It was a picture of the earth. The Bible tells us in the book of the Revelation, chapter 17, that the great whore, the false religion of that day, rides on a scarlet-colored beast. That scarlet-colored beast is the one-world religion. And in the first half of the tribulation, the one-world government is ruled by the one-world religion. Hence, the woman riding on that beast, it speaks of the human government. In fact, the very first man in your Bible, you know him, don't you? His name's Adam. Where was Adam taken from? He was taken from the earth, right? God took dirt and put it together and made a man out of it. Do you know what that name Adam means? It means to be red or to be ruddy. And therefore, when we see the blue, it speaks of the heavenly character of Christ. But the red speaks of the earthly character of Christ. But it's not just red, it's scarlet. You see, it not only pictures the earthly nature of Christ, but it speaks of the price that Christ paid for the earth, for humanity. Scarlet's the color of blood, is it not? It speaks of the price paid for redemption. Jesus Christ paid a great price. The way that they got scarlet in this day, this is interesting. The way they got scarlet in this day, that color, is there was a certain kind of worm that lived in Palestine. And they would take that worm and they would crush and smash and mush that worm. And when they did, they would take that worm, its guts basically, and make dye out of it. It is no coincidence, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 22, that great prophetic psalm that speaks of Calvary. In that psalm, that prophetic psalm, verse 6, the Lord testifies and he says, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. You see, when he died on Calvary, he was smashed under the weight of that cross. And that crimson blood flowed out and purchased salvation for all of mankind. Now help me here. Some of you kids, you ought to know this. Even some of you small ones, y'all help me here. We've got blue, which is the heavenly color of Christ. And then we've got red or scarlet, which is the earthly character of Christ. What do you get when you mix red and blue together? Purple. The Bible said that second color was purple. You see, Christ was 100% man, yet he was 100% God. He was all red and he was all blue. And because he was the man, Jesus Christ, it could be said of him that he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Amen. The Hebrew writer said that our Lord is set down on the right hand of the majesty, the throne on high, sitting at God's right hand. He is the Christ man. He is the God man. He is deity, royalty. That color purple speaks of royalty. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Christ man, Jesus Christ. I see not only the color, but I see the cherubim. Verse 1 says, and with cherubims of cunning workshop thou make them. In these curtains, God instruct them to sew cherubims. This was to be a cunning work. That word cunning work means the work of a thinker. These cherubims weren't sewn onto the curtain. They were sewn into the curtain. There's a difference. One takes a lot more skill than the other. The cherubim is a guardian. The very first time we see a cherubim in the Word of God, it's outside the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden, the tree of life from Adam and Eve. You remember that, right? And according to the law of first mention, that means it must forever be a guardian. A cherubim must. The cherubim is a guardian. Therefore, God had that cherubim guarding the Garden of Eden. He put two cherubims over the mercy seat guarding the place of God. Now imagine with me now, God told them to put cherubims on this linen curtain that went above them, showing that God's protection was over that place, guarding them. Think about something with me. Imagine that you're a priest and that you're working inside of this tabernacle. Day in and day out, you go inside of the tabernacle and out of the tabernacle to do your job and to do your work. And as you work, you're covered by a mass of outstretched wings and flowers or feathers. Those cherubims are overhead, all above you. I wonder if this is what the psalmist had in mind when he said in Psalm 17:8, "Keep me as the apple of thy eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wing." I wonder if he had this in mind in Psalms 57:1, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul thirsteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wing will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Psalm 61:4, and "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." Psalms 91:4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." You see, God had covered them with wings and feathers, showing them this was a place of protection. This is the place where the candlestick was, where the light was given. This was the place where the altar of incense and prayer was made. This was the place where the table of showbread, where fellowship was had. And God was saying, "There is protection under my wing." God is protecting them. Imagine this. Every time that priest looked up, he was reminded that God was looking down. I see the cubits. Verse number 2, "And the length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits. The breadth of one curtain, 4 cubits. And every one of the curtains shall have 1 measure. Now, if we do the math, we multiply our cubits out. That tells us that every curtain measured 42 by 6. The length of the curtain tells the course of the life of Christ, 6 feet. It was only 6 feet long, or 6 feet short, I should say, which pictures the short life that Christ lived, only living to the age of 33. The breadth, 42, tells the story of the fact that it was spacious, or that it was roomy. It pictures the fact that there was space, or there was room enough for the entire world to come to Christ. Christ had room enough for the little children that wanted to come to him, and he had room enough for Zacchaeus, the publican and the cheat. He had room enough for a dying thief that was hanging on a cross. He had room enough for a social outcast that he met at a well in John chapter 4. He had enough room for a religious man like Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. And he's got room enough for you, and he's got room enough for you, and he's got room enough for you. And John 3:16 said he died for the whole world. That tells me he's got room enough for every man and every woman, every boy and every girl. It was a wide place Calvary was. He has room enough for us all. I see its couplings in verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. The Bible says, "And 5 curtains shall be coupled together one to another, and 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another, and thou shalt make hoops of blue upon the edges of one curtain from the salvage and the coupling, and likewise shalt thou make on the uttermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, and the loops may take hold one of another." Verse 6, "And thou shalt make 50 taches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the taches, and it shall be one tabernacle." You see, the Bible tells us that it took these four verses tell us that the curtains of 5 were grouped together in sections of 2. And each section was grouped together by 50 couplings. Now, that means that there was 5 and 5 put together. 5, of course, in the Bible is a picture of grace, right? Just interesting thought. This tabernacle was surrounded by grace. Law that was given to Moses on top of Sinai, he's a sinner and he's got to die. But just as soon as he law that said he's got to die, he gave a tabernacle that's full of grace. The Bible says there was 2, 5. There's grace. The pillars of the court were 5 cubits apart and 5 cubits high. There's some more grace. The brazen altar was 5 cubits square. There's a little grace. The door of the tabernacle had 5 pillars. There's more grace. These curtains and coverings were surrounded by by grace. It was all around them. God had everything they were through. But watch this. The word couple means, it comes from a Hebrew word, couple. He said, take five and couple them together. That word couple means to be united, or essentially it means friendship with. That's what it means, to have friendship with. Can I just passing that God took human, God took the divine, and through the work of Jesus Christ, He brought us together, and through grace, we have fellowship and friendship with God. Watch this. The Bible says that on the edge of this curtain would be 50 loops and 50 tatches. 50 in the Bible. 50 in the Bible is the number of liberty. 50 is the number of liberty. Every 50 years was the year of Jubilee. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of liberty, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, He is that Spirit of liberty. The Holy Spirit was sent 50 days after the Lord's resurrection on the day of Pentecost. And He took liberty and He took grace and He united God and man. I see not only the tabernacle, which is this linen curtain, but I also see the tent. I want you to notice a few things about the tent. In verse 7, I want you to notice its features. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. See, the outer curtainings were made of skins. This was the covering of goat hair. Now, in this day, Palestinian goats were typically black. It was kind of unusual to see a white goat in Palestine, and they used goat hair or goat skins to make most of their tents. That's why the Shulamite testified in Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 5. She said, I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. She said, I'm black like those tents are black. Black, of course, now this black goat's hair was the next covering that went over that linen. Black is the color of sin. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. The black goat speaks of Christ's identification with sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Notice this with me, please. Sin was not put in Christ, but it was laid on Christ. Just like this black sinful curtain was laid on top of that curtain that spoke of the nature, the twofold nature of Christ. Sin was laid on Him, not inside of Him. Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. This goat hair covering was laid over this linen curtain. This is interesting to me. The priest, imagine this with me, please. The priest is now inside and he is working. And he's working in the fellowship with God at the table of showbread and in prayer and in the candles. He's doing his job. And the Bible says that there's a black covering of goat's hair above him. But the priest can't see it. It's hidden. It's hidden by the nature of Christ. By the blue and the red, the blood that was shed, the King of Kings. He's hiding that sin from the priest where he can't see it. Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to thy soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Hebrews 10:17, for their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. You see, their sin was there. The goat's hair, that black curtain was there. But nobody on the outside could see it. Nobody on the inside could see it because God had covered that up. I see not only the features, but I see the formation. Verse 7 says, "And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The 11th, the length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. And 11 curtains shall be one measure." Now, consider this with me. I told you that 10 is the number of human responsibility. There were 10 linen curtains, but now there's 11. Now there's 11 goat's hair coverings. 11 in your Bible is the number of disorder. 11 is the number of disorder. It was Joseph's dream about the 11 stars bowing down to him that caused disorder in his family. It was the workers that were hired at the 11th hour to work the vineyard that caused disruption in the vineyard that day. 11 is the number of disruption. That number of disunity, disruption. Let me suggest, we don't have time for this. I've got to finish. But let me challenge you, do something tonight, tomorrow. Go home and Google how many times the number 11 pops up on September the 11th. Disunity, disruption, the disruption that was put upon our world. It will amaze you. Those two towers standing there, one next to the other, that look like the number 11 standing there. Satan sent disruption that day. The Bible says here that there were 11 curtains of goat's hair. This speaks of the disruption of Christ. Christ disrupted Satan's plan of sin. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He disrupted him. I see the fold, verse number 9, "And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and thou shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle." 5, of course, is the number of grace. 6 is the number of man. They were divided 5 and 6. By the death of Christ, of course, God and man were linked together. They said that the first curtain would be doubled. It speaks of grace upon grace. James 4:6, he giveth more grace. I see the facilities, verse number 10. "Thou shalt make 50 hoops of the edge of the one curtain," that is the othermost coupling, "and 50 loops in the edge of the curtaining with coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of brass and put the tatches into the loops and couple the tent together that it may be one." The color of the loops are not mentioned in this goat hair covering like they were in the linen. We can assume, since the goat hair covering was black, that the loops were black. We don't know, but we do know this. We know on the linen curtain the tatches were gold, but now they're not gold. According to these verses, they're brass. Brass in the Bible is a picture of judgment. When our Lord died on the cross for sin, for that black sin, God poured His judgment out upon His Son. Isaiah 53:10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him." He poured His judgment out upon Him. I see the fit in verse 12 and verse 13. "And the remnant that remaineth the curtain of the tent, half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle. And a cubit on the one side and a cubit on the other side. Of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent, it shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it." If the tabernacle was 15 foot wide, 15 foot tall, 45 foot long, these 11 curtains measured 45 by 66. Therefore, the curtain of goat hair completely covered the tabernacle, just like Christ's sacrifice completely covered our sins. Romans 8:1, "There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Let me show you this last of all. I want you to see the finishes. Look at verse 14. "Thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger skins." 2 skins were placed over the goat's hair to complete the tent. The first was ram skin dyed red. The only way that ram skin could be used to make this covering was for a ram to die, or many rams to die. The first skin mentioned in the Bible that covered sin. Now we're talking about the black goat hair, right? And this red skin covered the black goat hair. God used a skin, and we don't know what it was. I would bet it was a ram skin. But God used a skin, according to the book of Genesis, to cover Adam and Eve's sin when they realized they were naked after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God used that ram to cover sin. You remember, it was a ram. That great picture of Jesus Christ. When Abraham took Isaac up on top of Mount Moriah, it was a ram caught in the thickets that took the place of Isaac that day. An old man is a sinner. Man as black as night. His sins are as black as night. But God covered our black sins with his red blood. And all day long the priest walked and worshiped and worked under a covering of blood. And can I say that without the blood, no work and no worship and no walk will be right. And then lastly, verse number 14 says that they would put on top of that a covering of badger skins. The badger in the Bible was probably different than what we know as a badger. The badger that we know today was an unknown animal in that part of the world. The word badger, though, in verse number 14, speaks more of color and texture of the skin than it does an animal. This skin was probably dark in nature, dark brown, dark blue. Some people said it could have even been charcoal gray. The skin, though, was used because it was tough and it was water resistant, but it was unattractive. This badger skin, think about this. This badger skin, it was the only thing that was visible to the outside world. The only thing they saw was the unattractive badger skin as they passed day by day. Inside of that tabernacle was some of the greatest riches and most beautiful things that the world has ever seen. But they never saw it. The world never saw it. Inside of there was a candlestick that weighed 125 pounds of pure gold. They never saw it. Inside was an altar that was carved out of gold, a table that was made out of gold. They never saw it. The riches and the beauty of Christ was never seen by this world. All they saw was an unattractive covering. It's no surprise that John testified in his gospel, chapter 1, verse 10, that he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. There he was. Can you imagine? The very Son of God walked right in the middle of them. And Brother James, they never saw him. Can you imagine as he walked by that multitude on the seashore of Galilee out there fishing? He knew every one of them by name. He knew how many hairs were on their head. He knew the day they were born because he's the one that gave them life. Amen. They never knew him. They never saw him for who he was. Isaiah said it would be this way, though. Isaiah 53, 2. For he shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. There's no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah said it would be that way. This skin, though, it was great for resisting the sun. It was great for resisting the storms. I'll give this to you and I'm done. The main purpose for badger skin in your Bible, do you know what the main purpose for badger skin's use was? The main purpose for badger skin in your Bible was for the use of producing shoes. They made shoes out of it. That leather, that's what they made their shoes out of. Consider this with me. The Bible tells us that when the children of Israel left the land of Egypt and they went into the wilderness, this is where they're at now, right? This is the tabernacle in the wilderness. In the wilderness, they'd go for 40 years. The Bible tells us something pretty interesting about their shoes. Do you remember what it was? They never wore out. The Bible said they walked for 40 years in those shoes, those badger skin shoes. They never wore out. Can I say, child of God, that it doesn't matter how hot the sun is, it doesn't matter how severe the storm is, the God that you serve will always be faithful. He'll never wear out. You say, well, the sun was awful hot yesterday. Yeah, but it can take the sun again today. You say, the storm's been blowing a lot in my life lately. Don't worry, child of God. He can handle the storm. He'll never wear out. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word. God, your word is amazing. Lord, the more we unfold and the more we learn, the deeper and richer the Word of God becomes. And God, it is amazing that you designed a structure like this to tell us the marvelous story of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm glad that I serve a God that great and that big and that powerful. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn more about you in the coming weeks. Bless our church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.